If you're not excited now, you can get really excited because this is flu shot Sunday. And if you haven't had your flu shot, you can get your flu shot. I think all of us understand reasons why that maybe those can be a benefit. Jessica's here to serve us in that need, if you haven't already done that so far, because definitely it is something that rapidly spreads and also takes people's lives. So hopefully that could benefit you today. Talking about heaven's champions and just trying to feel where we're at, where you're at. I got a question for you. When's the last time you were really, really excited?
When I got up this morning.
When you got up this morning. Okay. That's a one way to get excited about. Any others?
I speak for my wife Anita. She won a cow hide last night at the Cattlemen Association dinner.
She won what now?
Drawing a cow hide.
A cow hide. Really? Now my question is, what do you do with a cow hide?
We're probably gonna give it to her son.
Oh, okay. All right, so she won that last night. Oh, wow, cool. Well, let's all go see Anita's cowhide. Any other? One, maybe one more. Donna?
I tell God every day I'm so blessed to be able to talk to him and do the
devil
his
son. Oh, yeah. Being able to have the avenue and the advocate to be able to talk to the Father, and the Father will listen. Again, you got to remember, when you're talking to the Father, you have to go to him with humility, because without humility, you end up asking more of things that you want, and then really approaching him to ask him to give you what you need. And there's a big difference between what I want and what I need. But it's good to be a champion. We started last week talking about how in Jesus there is a victory. How we can be, which I believe this. And now, again, I'm going to have to at least qualify this, because the way that you express excitement and victory will be different than the person that's probably standing next to you. But I still believe for Christian people, ones who are in Jesus Christ, who have committed their life to following him, should be the most excited people in the whole world. And when we lose that, we lose a part of an expression about the best news that this world could ever have. It's hard to convince people that God truly loves them when we're not excited about his love towards us. That we become apathetic towards what God is trying to do in our lives. Now, I'm an odd person. I show my excitement in odd ways. Some of you like it, some of you don't. But that's okay. It's my excitement. And I tell you one thing, I hope this is a church that would rather have somebody preaching that is excited about God than somebody who is not. Agree? And no matter which way that we kind of get into, we've got the best news. And we got to remind ourselves of that. That's the reason why we come together. We probably ought to spend more time. And I'm going to go ahead and share with you, as we go on into a new year, there's some things going on in my head that, how do I get to the point to where, okay, there's people who are comfortable, there's people who are uncomfortable. There's people who like to share, there's people who don't like to share. But trying to come up with ways to where you can hear from other people how excited they are about God. Because I think we need to hear it more. Now, if I have to say, though, sometimes when I look over an audience, there are reasons out there that excitement is not existing. And there's different reasons for that. Either you think you can't get excited about God because that's not the way I was taught, or life has drained you and Satan has come after you to the point you've forgotten the victory that you have in Jesus. And so, Heaven's Champions, we want to talk about that more this morning. Last week we talked about a verse in Hebrews chapter 2. In Hebrews chapter 2, go ahead to the next one, slide. It talks about overcoming death by death. And I think it's a concept that all of us need to understand. Jesus became flesh, became a human, so that we can know that we have a Lord, a Savior, a Messiah that knows what it's like to be a human being. If God had chosen not in his plan to become a human, we would have every excuse to be able to go to him to say, well, God, I believe in your existence, but I tell you one thing, you don't know what it's like to be human. But he became human. But why did he have to die so young? Why did he have to go through what he did? So that by his death, you and I would overcome death. It takes dying to live. And that insight and understanding only comes from God. It takes Kevin dying to himself in order to overcome temptation to sin. And there's where we want to talk and take notes. So in your family news should be a yellow sheet of paper. If you're a guest and you didn't get one, look over, and if there's a person here beside you that's willing to give up their yellow one and get another one, for all the people here at the Hickory Church family, be generous and give your sheet over and let them take some notes and then get another one, okay? Because I think this is going to be really important for all of us to understand. Now, 1 Corinthians is where I want to dwell. And I don't know about you, but I don't know. Anybody watch college football yesterday? Okay, about 70% of us. One of the things I've learned about sports is we get excited over things that we want to get excited about. If you're rooting for your team, you want your team to win. What if you could become a fan of a team that will never lose, that will always have victory? How would you react? Now, I don't know about you. I watch, because of usually financial reasons, I watch more of sports like football on TV than I do going live to it. But the difference is, I'd rather be live. And here's why. When I'm just watching other people be excited, I don't feel involved. But when I'm among excited people, I get excited. Church, you want to be an exciting church? Then let's start understanding who we're champions of and where our victory is. And then I hope you will desire to be with more champion people. You won't be able to get enough of each other. Here's what I'm afraid of. The reason why we struggle with attendance, the reason why we struggle with consistency. Now, there's health reasons, I know. I'm not talking about that. God's not going to hold that. We totally understand why certain people can't make it out. I really believe that there are people in our church family that can't make it here this morning, that the people who are here this morning need to go to them. Need to be at their home. Need to share in the excitement about being champions of the Lord. I don't know about you, but it's more contagious to be a champion than a loser. But I'm afraid in the church, we have now accepted losing to where the point to where all of our excitement seems to be pulled away. Who does that? How does that happen? I believe if we become more champion-oriented, then the excitement we have will be that other people can come and be built up while they're here, and that you never have to worry about being torn down, because we have some news of victory. We know a way you can win. We are part of that way, and we want more. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but teams that have stands and stadiums full seem to thrive off the excitement of the audience. It's almost like the Seattle Seahawks. Seattle Seahawks call their stadium and their fans what? What is it? The 12th man. They're part of it. I don't think these guys would want to go play the game if the stands were empty. They say they love the game. I guarantee you, it's really hard to play if you don't have somebody encouraging you. But then sometimes you got to go away, and you got to be amongst people that don't like you. And you got to learn how to continue to play. With that said, how do we do that as a church? How do we do that as heaven's champions? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I want to share with you just these first 13 verses. I've got some three concepts that I want you to jot down. And you go and study it at home and let me know what it does for you. But this is warnings from Israel's history. You got to remember, Israel was chosen by God to represent what it's like to have a relationship with God to other people. It's not that God hated Gentiles. He just chose Israelites. He chose the Jews to develop a relationship with so that other people would get to know what it's like to have a relationship with God. Brothers and sisters, do you understand that's what the church is for? That's what you're for. It's to go show other people who don't have a relationship with God what it's like to have one.
Amen.
Now, if you've lost your excitement, boy, I don't know about you. We better seek after God again. Because God is a very exciting God. God changes lives. God plans to prosper and not harm us. He wants to bless us. He wants to protect us. He wants us to have life to the fullest. And if we've lost excitement over that, we better get back into the ball game. Because this doesn't mean anything about how old you are. I've seen some of you white-haired people get really excited. And when you're excited about certain things, you show that excitement. And if we've lost in any way, at any level, our excitement for what God has done for us and what we can do with Him, we're going to have to self-examine ourselves and then start maybe just fresh all over again. It's like remembering your salvation. Remembering how you felt being forgiven. Remembering the result of the Holy Spirit producing a characteristic in you that you never had before. Impatient person becoming patient, at least more. Now, the reason why we come stalemate is because we have an enemy. And God tries to warn us, at least Paul's trying to say to us here in 1 Corinthians in chapter 10, follow with me the first five verses. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the cloud and that all passed through the Red Sea, or through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered over the desert. Now, there's a warning here. You can be part of a group of people who are trying to obey God, and yet displease God. It's a warning. There's ways you and I can please God. There's ways that we can displease Him. For some reason, we've gotten the fact that as long as you do, the magic wand is you just go to a church service. As long as I'm a part of some roster of some sort, then I'm okay. That's why I want our baptism to be into Jesus Christ, not because the Church of Christ tells you you have to do something. I want immersed with my Lord. I want my Lord to be inside of me. Because I tell you, if I just do something just to be doing something to please other people, which I do a lot of, I end up losing the excitement because my excitement was based on the wrong thing. Now, join up in verse 6. Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things that they did. Don't be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge pagan revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality, as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 of them died. We should not test the Lord, as some of them did, and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble, as some of them did, and were killed by the destroying angel. Now, who's he talking to? Who's he talking about? Is he talking about everybody out there? He's talking about everybody of Israel that was supposed to be called out to show what it's like to have a relationship with God. Now, can you and I fall into disobedience? We don't want to think we would, right? But we can. We can actually do things that look good and displease him. That's why you have to be such attuned with God. And you should seek after him with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul and all your strength. That's why you want to be together. Now, I don't know about you. If you start coming over to my house and all you want to do is nitpick at me or nitpick at the brothers and sisters in Christ, it will eventually either draw you into the same nitpicking. But why don't we just get together and just say, let's remember what God has done for us. Let's praise him and honor him. And as we share those things together, we build each other up.
Amen.
I don't know why that's not people that are hunger for that. I need it. I tell you, if I only see you guys one day a week, I don't know how you survive. I don't know how a church can survive without being built up. I really don't. So, what's good is happening is we have these little pocket things. We got the seniors meeting over at mom's place, and they play games together, and they build one another up. It gives an opportunity to other people. You can't make that one. We got our senior luncheon. Go build one another up. It's more than just stuffing your face. It's filling yourself up with God. It's wanting to be together. Our discipleship groups, it seems like that our small groups are always struggle at getting people to want to desire to be together at that form or fashion. Wednesday nights can be the same. Sunday mornings at 9:30 can be the same. Try to remember, if you can be around other champions, get around them.
Amen.
And praise God together with them. And then go out and show other people that praise and that excitement. And then hopefully other people would say, where are you getting this from? The world has it. It's
learn from this. This is the most important thing to remember. Verse 11. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. That's what we have to remind ourselves of. Sin does not have to control us any longer. That's the reason why Jesus died. Now, Kevin, are you saying that I should go around bragging to people that I never sin again? No, you're going to sin again. And I guarantee you, temptation's not going to quit. Actually, I believe what the scriptures teach is after Jesus' baptism, that Satan starts coming right after a baptism after people to try to get them back into the same old world that they wanted to die to when they committed their life to Jesus. Without the church being there for you, we are babies vulnerable to just go back into the world with the same attitude. But we're champions. We can please God. We can hold him reverent. We can hold him high. We can honor him by being obedient to the things that he's trying to get us to obey. I mean, have you ever thought about the one and other commandments? Have you ever studied them? Have you ever went down through them and saying, am I trying to be that to other brothers and sisters? Or has church turned into an event on a Sunday morning? Or is church being a called out person by the voice of God to die to myself and to live for him? Amen. That's church. And then when we do that together, yeah, we'll have all these different events, but inside me, something is happening. Something is different. Your excitement will be different than my excitement. I tell you one thing. I say, all right. Let me talk about it. It took Calvin a teenager to get this across to me. There is something that happened to me. When I was a teenager, I was excited. And now that I became older, a lot of that excitement left. Caitlin helped me in a lot of ways to get re-excited. You know how my excitement got back? To see her excited. Now, her excitement comes from different avenues than the way my excitement did. I used to go to Ray Walker sings, and all we sang was just all the old hymns. And man, did we sing. I mean, we lifted the roof off the place. But then Kaylin, she feels refined and gets excited over some of the newer songs. You know what I've learned? I need to be excited for her. Not telling her that my excitement back then is the only excitement you're allowed to have. God, when we're tempted, does one thing, and we need to believe this. He'll give you an escape route. You do not have to be overcome by sin, and you don't have to give in to it. You will, we will, because of our weakness. That you don't have to. God's promise is, I'll always give you an escape route. I want you to try something. I don't know how many are in tune with your relationship with God during the week, but jot down this week when you're tempted. Just jot it down. You know it's a temptation. You know that's something that you probably shouldn't think, shouldn't say, or shouldn't do. Okay? Jot it down. Then, here's the problem. I can convince you that that's going to happen this week. And you'll agree with me. But what we got to encourage everybody with and help everybody with is to see the escape route. We need to start seeing the opportunity not to do those things, not to go ahead with that thought. I tell you one thing, you just drive down the street on the Interstate 40 and look up and see one particular billboard, and brothers, unless you're not human anymore, you're going to be tempted. Just because of what's on that board. Temptation is not sin. Temptation is the opportunity to sin. You're going to be tempted, but you don't have to sin. Because God will give you the escape route. You know one of the escape routes to that billboard? Get your eyes off the billboard, get it right back on the road. Because I tell you one thing, if you focus too much on that billboard and the traffic stops, you're in trouble. That's how Satan does. He does subtle things like that. So number one, I'm going to give you 3 points and then it'll be over with. We have the same predicament, church. We're all tempted in many ways. When we're tempted, it's not God tempting you. You find that out from the book of James. When you're tempted by the evil realm. And when you fall, you feel like a failure. Then Satan makes you feel like you're alone. I'm really saddened that we have, I'm talking about churches abroad. Church has lost its transparency. We can't be transparent anymore. Because we're afraid to admit to other brothers and sisters because of what other brothers and sisters react to if you actually was transparent with the sin. I've noticed 24 years of being able to offer at least a time where people could come after a message like this one, and all I hear is that they sin. We know that. But every time I ask, where is your sin struggle? They don't want to be transparent. It's hard to help. I would say, my suggestion is that you get a few people that you trust in the Lord, build a relationship with them to the point you can be transparent with your struggles. Because to overcome sin and to overcome and see the escape route is that we got to die to ourselves. And I got to admit areas of my life I need to die to. Number two, God's promise to you is that he will stick with you. And he will provide that way out. Our responsibility is this. Rely on God's promises. Act on God's provision. And keep doing that over and over and over again. Sin may happen. It doesn't have to. But if it does, God's there, willing to forgive. It's sin that keeps hanging around is why God had to warn the Israelites. Oh, they're a part of his chosen people. But what were they caught into? Some of them? Idolatry, sexual immorality. And people who call themselves Christ followers fall back into sin. Yes. God provides the way out.
escape route. Simple as it is, knowing the good you ought to do, but you don't want to do it, God gives you an escape route. He's working in our lives. He's trying to get your attention. My question is, are you excited about being a champion? A champion over sin because of God. Nap time? We'll do that stuff. Man, let's get excited. I don't know what to do. David, I don't know, softly and tenderly, extremely with excitement, okay? All right, let's just get excited and tenderly answer to the voice of the gentle Savior, because his yoke is light. If you need to respond in any way, stand and do it.
Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner. Come home. Time is now fleeting, the moments are passing, passing from you and from me.